Hello and welcome. Welcome back to the Brotherhood That Matters podcast. I'm Ryan McBride, and I'm hosting today. I'm going to be bringing you all what's up in Westeros and all that stuff. I have to say now, not a lot has happened. Not an awful lot has happened. If you're avoiding spoilers, that is, and I haven't heard anything, and I don't intend to. So, for all of you people listening, shit the fuck up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to send me it. I don't want to see it. And just for everyone's sake, stop. I had last season spoiled for me by someone because they posted as a theory, but it was after the leak came, and I'd managed up until that point to avoid everything. But he posed it as a theory, and I was like, oh wow, that's very specific. And then it turned out to be just the way it was, which I suspected. It was off Viserion arriving and dang. But anyway, that's a very negative way to start. I'm so glad you're listening, and I'm so glad I'm here, and I hope you're glad I'm here too. Since I've been here last, I mean, last time I made a podcast here, it was 2017, and since then it's been announced that 2018, this year, is going to be a Game of Thrones free year. Woo! So the night is a lot longer and darker than many of us had hoped. But sure, listen, we're gonna try and get through it. We're gonna just, I don't know, I'm making a fist with my hand and punching straight ahead as if to gesture that we're gonna push through it, and I couldn't find the words for push through it, so I just went and said it. Anyway, we're gonna entertain ourselves in the dark like all the people of the North and Westeros are doing right now. So anyway, what I've been doing this week, I asked, because all the focus is on season 8 now, I asked Twitter, I guess, who do they want to see die in, not once, who should die in next season of Game of Thrones, the last season of Game of Thrones. And I got some interesting results. I mean, from Twitter, I mean, Grey Area replied, the YouTuber, the really good YouTuber, Talking Thrones as well. He had a really interesting, take on it. He was like, Cersei deserves to die more than Euron, in my opinion. But as a character, I like what Cersei brings to the table. So it's off with Euron's head. So that's interesting too. And yeah, eventually after Twitter, I put the poll out there onto Facebook as well. And as some of you might know, I'm on absolutely every Facebook group about Game of Thrones. So I have used my power, and I put a poll in each one, and also leaving open the box for more people to add their own person to have killed in next season of Game of Thrones. And I got a lot of response. I got a huge response out of it. I got the overall 327 people voted in this poll. So I was quite happy with that. If I get 327 listens in this podcast, that might be a different story, but we'll see. But anyway, yeah, the candidates we have, I'm just going to announce them out like an election now. Hot Pie, Jon Snow, Daenerys Targaryen, Cersei Lannister, The Night King, Gregor Clegane, Euron, or all of them. Yeah, so as an interesting enough selection we got there. I mean, Hot Pie, for one, he's straggling in there at the back. He got 2 votes out of the 327. I mean, I can't help but let the theory linger in the back of my head that he's behind it all. But somehow now I think he's been proven innocent. And also, if they kill him off next season, that's like killing off Dobby in Harry Potter. I mean, he did not do anyone any harm. And he's just sitting there in his little Crossroads Inn thing, making wolves and shit. But Cersei probably would have Hotpie killed for making wolves in the shape of scone or whatever it is. Oh, scone, scone, whatever your preference is. I don't know. I'm just going to put that out there. But anyway, yeah, Hotpie is a thing. Jon Snow. Now, the spelling of Jon Snow was... someone spelled it J-O-H-N, and they rightfully, some might say, was struck down with vengeance and, you know, all the rest of it. But anyway, Jay Snow got 12 votes overall, which I thought was quite low, because some, like, a lot of people think Jon Snow, he, not that they want him to die, but I think he should die because it's his place. A lot of people believe that Daenerys is the prince that was promised, prince or princess, or however you want to read the prophecy, and they think that Jon Snow is the person that should sacrifice themselves, or also Khal Drogo, if you believe in Daenerys, was the Valancor, or not Valancor, I don't remember the fucking word, the person, the wife, or whatever, of Lightbringer. My phone's buzzing. Anyway, Jon Snow was second last on the list of the people that we think should die in Game of Thrones Season 8, and that's quite low. But then again, it wasn't in the initial Facebook push I had, and when I posted all the things to Facebook, I had Cersei, Euron, Gregor, Nick, or all of them, and then I said, add your own if it's not there. So I'm just gonna presume that's right. The fourth lowest at 21 votes was Daenerys Targaryen, and that was also surprisingly low. I thought more people would think that Daenerys should die, because I don't know, based on what came before, all of the death through childbirth, and all of the fact now that she is not the rightful queen of Westeros, because her nephew is legitimately that. I think with those two things combined in itself, Daenerys, I don't know, she has a lot of comeuppance to come up. She didn't, she was very harsh with people in Essos, and I don't think she really got much of a response out of that. Then again, one of her dragons died, so I guess that's a big shot to the balls for her. But who knows? Well, we'll see. We'll see. And who would do it? Who would kill Daenerys? Would it be Jon Snow? If the theory is correct, he might. Would it be the Night King? That is plausible too. I don't know. I don't know who would do it. Would Cersei send a load of a bitch army after her or something? Or invite her to a brothel and kiss her to death? God knows. And Jon Snow, who's going to kill Jon Snow? I'd say it's the Night King. And a lot of theories have been posing this whole single combat thing, whereby because the last time Jon Snow killed a White Walker leader fellow, the others just kind of stood back and watched. And also in the first scene of Game of Thrones, I think it was in the books more so, that they just stood back, laughed for a little while, and then one of them did all the fighting. Implies that they believe in the old ways, the old gods, single combat, one-on-one. Like the way Gregor killed, I fucking forget his name now, the Viper. Not the Viper Higgins, the Pedro Pascal, whatever the hell his name is. Pedro Pascal, Game of Thrones, here we go. How could I not remember this? Oberyn Martell, yes, the way the Mountain killed Oberyn Martell. And that basically means that because the others believe in the old ways, that's how Jon Snow is going to die or kill the White Walker leader. And somehow I don't think it's going to be that simple, but also they got to wrap up everything very quickly, so I wouldn't be surprised if they take a shortcut through that. Anyway, number four is all of them, fourth lowest from the list, 24 votes that got. So Hot Boy got 2, Jon Snow got 12, Daenerys got 21, and all of them, so basically the White Walker win, gets 24 votes, which, yeah, they're very pessimistic. Everyone should die. They're like, what's the opposite of a humanist? an ahumanist? But anyway, like, that's very harsh on, you know, the whatever million people live in Westeros. I'm sure George Martin threw the stat out at some point. How many people live in Westeros? Google me in. Listen to me, Google. 40 million people. Ballpark, according to atlasoficeandfireblog.wordpress.com. You can check that out if you doubt my reading skills. So 40 million people. 24 of you, 24 people on Facebook and a couple on Twitter think that 40 million people should die. That's harsh. I mean, that is harsh. I mean, no matter how much virtue the people of Westeros have lost, I think they deserve another chance to, you know, redeem themselves before being killed off by a White Walker plague. I'm sure some of them's going to emigrate as well, so maybe it's not going to be the 40 million, but who knows. 33 people think the Night King should die. Now, I probably shouldn't have included this in here because I wrote on Twitter that human character, but that could yet be proved to be true. The Night King could be human, but just deformed and killed in a horrible in such a way by Children of the Forest magic. So I'm going to keep it in there for that sake. 33 people voted for him. And I don't know enough about the Night King to say that he should die, because I don't know if it's his fault that he's the way he is. I don't know what's driving him. I would like to reserve judgment until that, but also he is killing a lot of innocent people. But I don't know, this is a legacy issue. I sound like a fucking government mule here, but it's a legacy issue. I don't know what I'm trying to say. The problems with the Night King are greater than the Night King. I feel like it's not just him he's fighting for. You don't go off on a run like that just to please yourself. And the Children of the Forest created him, so maybe he's like a computer program to kill until the Children of the Forest are back on top. Who knows? I'm just disregarding all Game of Thrones Song of Ice and Fire lore here, just throwing out the window, but this is just a little theory I'm posing. Now, next one up. Third place on the list, Gregor Clegane, 39 votes. Just edging out the Night King there, when he was on 33. Now, Gregor Clegane, also debatable. I think he's about as human as the Night King is at this point. Or he is about as lively as the Night King. Because the Night King, you know, he's either dead or mutant. And Gregor, he's either dead or mutant as well. Because he was really well taken out by Oberyn Martell. Remembered his name this time. And also, I don't know. I think he should die because he has mercilessly killed people the whole way along the series, and we've just been screaming out for some redemption. Not redemption, but some karma to come his way, I guess. And Gregor Clegane, now we're on the question of who should do it. I think it wouldn't be right if it was anyone else but his brother the Hound. I mean, there is an argument to say that Larya Martell should be the one who Larya Sand should be the one to kill Gregor Clegane, because, you know, she wasn't really happy about Oberyn dying. But, you know, I think that there's been such an undercurrent of, you know, family and just the opposite directions they've gone and stuff like that for Gregor to be killed by Sandor the Hound. But that's just me. If you think any different, you tweet us at Brotherhood Pod on Twitter. No, you can do it somewhere else if you want, but you know, tweets don't really tend to travel outside Twitter. You can let us know on Facebook. Just type in Brotherhood Without Matters podcast and just avoid those fat American ones. And yeah, just check out, find Bron somewhere. You're listening to us anyway, you fucking know what the artwork looks like. But yeah, it's definitely a credible, you know, claim that Gregor should be the one most warranting a death next season. Now, just edging him out there. Well, yeah, edging him out by about 6 votes is Euron Greyjoy. I noticed on Facebook anyway, Facebook and amongst the theorists especially, that Euron was someone who they think should die more, because I don't know, I know Euron in the books, he has an awful lot more power, he has an awful lot more fearsome. I've not read all the books, admittedly, but I've not read it far enough until Euron can be introduced properly. But as far as I know, he's got much more mystery and much more threat about him, I would say. And he's holding a lot more cards in the book. So that's the reason I think that that Euron is just second place on the list so far up. And number one on the list is Cersei Lannister, which I'm sure all of you called from the start. She's way ahead. She's up on 151 votes, which is like nearly half. Oh shit, I just burped. Nearly half of everyone surveyed thought that Cersei should be the one who dies. And yeah, I got a couple of interesting tweets about her anyway. Like Sanrixian said, "I hope the show goes as hard on her as possible, to be honest." Yeah, I mean, we've really been setting up Cersei's fall. I mean, lots and lots and lots of people thought that Cersei would die last year. Myself included, because I just thought, you know, what else can she lose? And what else has she got? But I guess she's still holding some cards close to her chest. I heard someone say, actually, that he posed an interesting theory that her Red Hand man, Qyburn, could be like a Castamere a Rhaen from Castamere, or one of the other ones, the Tower. Yeah, the Rhaens and the Tarbecks. I don't know. It would be really cool to have a bit of an ulterior motive for Qyburn. Like, just to have him saying, you know what, fuck everything, I'm just going to elevate you to the top and then chop your fucking neck off. But I don't really understand why he would wait that long. You know, he's already been entrusted to her for that long, and he could have he could have the Mountain, you know, skillet her at any given moment. So it's a bit weird that he waited so long, if it does prove to be the case, which I don't think it will, but I'm just going to leave it out there anyway for you to decide. Again, at Brotherhood Pod on Twitter. Anyway, yeah, so I think Cersei is going to get killed by Jaime, and I think most people out there agree with that. Because it's been prophesied. Someone said it on Facebook. Cersei was prophesied to die anyway. I can't remember who said that, but then again, we've been breaking up theories left, right, and center here, haven't we? Because she's pregnant supposedly now. But then again, this doesn't really matter if she doesn't give birth to the child. That's a whole other thing. Not going to get into that right now. But who knows? Again, another thing on the Cersei thing, Talking Thrones, I'm going to repeat this quote one more time, because it's not very often I get a good quote from a good YouTuber as Talking Thrones. He says, "Cersei deserves to die more than Euron, in my opinion, but as a character, I like what Cersei brings to the table, so it's off with Euron's head." she brings a lot to the table, all right, and she's constantly evolving, much like her brother, but always in the wrong direction. But how much more can she bring to the table now? It's the last season. Something's got to give here, and Cersei's got a day. I got some other comments on Facebook underneath the poll. Sharuk Jalani says that Cersei, Euron, the Mountain, Daenerys, and the Night King should die. So they must be living in the House of Black and White. They've got an awful long list there. I wonder, are they going to go to bed every night and just say those four names before they go? Wait, is that four? One, two, three, four, five names. Yeah, five names. And actually, that's another thing. No legit Starks are on this list. No one thinks any of the Starks. No one thinks any of the Starks should die. Like, straight out Starks. Jon Snow, I guess, is one, but not really. No one thinks Bran should die. No one thinks Arya should die. No one thinks Sansa should die. No one thinks... Is that it? Oh, fuck. No one thinks Theon Greyjoy, who is now a Stark as well, should die. So, eh. We'll see. We'll see how that is. Oh, it's so depressing. No more Game of Thrones until 2019. James Smith said on Facebook, I thought the Mountain and the Dornish Prince killed each other in single combat. And they brought the Mountain back from the dead. Yeah, well, that's very interesting. So, the Mountain, that's as I was saying before, the Mountain might have died already. So, does he warrant dying again? Would the Count is dying again? Is he still in the Mountain? There's a lot of questions still to be answered about just who this person is, because he's never spoken. Have they cut his tongue out or something? I would like to know more about Gregor's condition, but it's just hard to tell with him so far. Just on the production side of things... And this could possibly impact on how the program evolves. The actress who plays Yara Greyjoy is pregnant. I'm just going to get her name here. I know her surname is Whelan. Actress. Yeah, Gemma Whelan, she's pregnant. I just happened to be listening to a podcast on the... When I was preparing this, she was just talking about grief and stuff like that, and she's just slipped in that she's pregnant. So that could affect her filming regime, and that could affect, just keep all this in mind when you're looking at production spoilers. I know there's some of you out there that are, for some reason. I guess it's not that much of a spoiler, but yeah, just she's pregnant, so it might affect her filming schedule. And how often she might be in it. If she might die off earlier, will they rewrite her part just to get her out early? And she's just like, she actually said, like, give a little snippet, a little tiny snippet in about her life in last season of Game of Thrones. She just said she got her script in little bits that didn't make any sense at the time. I guess that makes sense. What was she in? How many scenes was she in the last season of Game of Thrones? She was on the boat, doing a bit of fingering and twerking. She was in chains beside Euron. And I can't really remember much more than that. She was in that. Was she outside in that sea battle as well? That's still the same scene. So, and that, she might have been in the prison as well. So she didn't really have that much impact in the way the whole story went. Actually, I would be really interested to see how she affects the story in the final season, though. And I guess that's going to be Theon's mission. Although Theon's going to go to Pyke, which isn't going to make a bit of sense to anyone. Will Theon hear the news from Jaime that Euron is actually going to get the Golden Company? Is that what Jaime's going to do? Is Jaime and Theon going to go and rescue Theon's sister and stop Euron? I don't think they're going to stop Euron. I think when they mention the Golden Company, they intend to bring them into the next season of Game of Thrones. But Jaime might stop Theon from doing an unwarranted trip home, which could impact on his health at some point during the season. And I think that would be really interesting. And I don't know what to make of it all. Speaking of production, Natalie Emmanuel, who plays Miss Sandy, is finished shooting already. She actually finished well before Christmas. I don't know. Does that signal an early death? Does that signal a minute part? Because, or maybe she just happened to have to do all her scenes very quickly because, you know, she's going to be in another Maze Runner movie this year, 2018, and she's going to be in a movie called The Titan this year too. So she's busy, and I think the producers might have, I don't know, maybe something's in her contract about getting finished up early. I don't know what they were offered. I can't imagine she'd have as much sway as Peter Dinklage or all the rest of them. Actually, did any of you see Peter Dinklage versus Morgan Freeman in that Mountain Dew Doritos ad? I think it was Doritos, but the little rap battle, it was pretty cool. But also I feel like they sold their soul, but still, bitch gotta make money. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting actually to see, just starting with that, how their careers are going to progress from this. I mean, I saw Ron in Black Mirror, but it wasn't the last season of Black Mirror. That was such a shocking episode, actually. Let me just get the name of that for you. Jerome Flynn, yeah. It was called Shut Up and Dance. And it's just, it was probably my favorite episode of Black Mirror, but it is also like, grow to know this character the whole time and you actually don't know this character. That's another thing. But yeah, speaking of other shows, that was a well implemented segue there. Other shows I was watching, I finished the first season of Vikings. I finished it long ago actually, but I just literally haven't got a chance to continue watching it, but I was really impressed by it, and I think it's good for people who, if you're trying to talk people into watching Game of Thrones, but need to get them out of the whole, this fantasy or slash historical genre isn't for me, that's a good show, Vikings, to get people out of that mind frame and learn that, you know, all TV is just about people and the world they occupy, instead of like saying, oh, this is fantasy, this is, you know, Star Trek, this is fucking rom-com. Everything's good if you give it a chance. Well, not everything's good, but every good writing and good production standards always shine through. And Vikings is a shining example of this. Now, it's not as complex as Game of Thrones. It's all based around this character called Ragnar Lothbrok, and it's all shot in Ireland too. So there's a lot of similarities actually with the fact that it's shot in Ireland, and it's about, well, no, it's not really. They all use swords. They all use swords. I guess that's the one similarity as well. They're kind of lumped together, although they're very different shows. And yeah, because it's all based around this one character, Ragnar Lothbrok, who's a Viking. He's a very ambitious Viking, and he wants to sail a different way than everyone else had. He wants to sail to England using a new route, and he does, but this is like at odds with what the chief wanted, the Viking, the Jarl that was there, and he opposes him. Now, I won't give too much away about what the story is, but he only opposes him to a point, and he basically, when Ragnar comes back with all the gold, the Jarl's like, well, listen, you're on my payroll, so that's technically my gold. You can take one thing, and it's a very interesting show, very easy to get sucked in, very lovable characters, very frustrating characters at times as well. So it's kind of like Game of Thrones in that way, but it's a lot simpler, and it's a good gateway drug to Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones, I've noticed a lot of people jump straight into that who might not have been familiar with the fantasy series or fantasy genre or historical genre or stuff like that before. That's a lot of threads to pull together with all these different storylines happening at once, and as well, if they're not used to that genre, you know, they're kind of already on the back foot. But watching Vikings first get a good story, kind of straight linear, would be a really good way to convince people to watch Game of Thrones if it goes well. And also, if you have watched Game of Thrones, hell yeah, go watch Vikings. It's, as I say, it's a lot more linear. But then again, there's a lot more immediate payoffs when you're only got one story ahead of you. Another show I've been watching, Walking Dead. I stopped watching it midway before the mid-season finale because it was that dull, boring, and just unsatisfactory. I don't know whether all of you agree. You can tell me on Twitter at BrotherhoodPod. Have you watched The Walking Dead? I mean, the only thing of note they did this season was kill off a character that was needless. It was another Dobby moment. They killed off a character that no one wanted to see go, really. And we all kind of seen it coming, I guess, because it was so, they were so out there. And it probably cost too much to keep them. But I won't spoil it anymore. But yeah. It was kind of disappointing, and I don't even know if I'm going to catch up and watch the rest of the season. But Game of Thrones is learning where they made their mistakes on AMC, Walking Dead. They're going to wrap it up and finish it early, and that will be fine. And no one, we'll all be complaining, but they're going to leave us wanting more. Which is going to, you know, it's going to be what the producers want to get themselves more money and spin-offs. And you know what? As long as they do one season well, or one series well of Game of Thrones, and just get that circular, get the loop down, no one can argue with it. You know, let them make spin-offs. Because we're introducing new characters and that, it won't be dragging on and on and on into infinity until they cancel it with all these untied loose endings. But anyway, that's very philosophical. Well, Jesus, we've gone into over half an hour of talking here. It's a little shorter than I usually go, but I'm by myself. Leandro's actually doing well on his own podcast, Virtual Citizens. You can find him at Citizens Virtual on Twitter. They are interviewing Christy Dignam from the legendary Irish band Aslan. I don't know how they managed to get him. That's like a huge get. And he sang Crazy World. I don't know if my international listeners heard it, but it's a very, very well-known song. He's a very well-known person here in Ireland. He's in the Late Late Show every turnabout. He recovered from cancer there not so long ago. And yeah, he's that's going to be such an interesting podcast to listen to. So I'm going to actually share that up on my own channel whenever I get the chance. Also, Game of Thrones wise, if you're looking for something to listen to related to Game of Thrones or watch, Grey Area is always putting up excellent stuff. Emergency Awesome is always putting up excellent stuff. Talking Thrones, always putting up amazing stuff. And, you know, Control Shift R, I think it's called. Hold on, yeah, or Control Alt Shift or some fuck. Some Windows shortcut off a YouTube channel. I can't remember their name for the life of me, but they always put up really good Game of Thrones content. Maybe not as often as others, but they do put it out there. And New Rockstars, they always have stuff about Marvel and stuff, but I don't really care about that. Oh yeah, and Jamie is in Galway this weekend. I don't know why I'm telling you that. It's not really of interest to you. But yeah. If you have any more thoughts about Game of Thrones, let me know. If you have any more thoughts about who should die in the next season of Game of Thrones, let me know. If you got any more questions, any more queries, any more theories that you want to give me, let me know. You can email me at bannersmanners@gmail.com, or you can tweet into the show at Brotherhood Pod and let me know all your theories. We've got an extra heap of characters now on Twitter, so there's no excuses for you not, you know, bleeding your little heart out to me. And if you are on Apple Podcast app, if you're listening to this on the Apple Podcast app, I would strongly recommend that you give me 5 stars rating and give me a little review as well. Some kind words always go a long way, especially in this competitive world off iTunes. I am really fascinated with how quickly Grey Area grew her channel, because from February to September, whenever I interviewed her, her channel had gone from nothing to becoming one of the best and one of the most widely watched Game of Thrones channels on YouTube. And she had 40,000 subscribers at the time, and that was like, that's phenomenal going. I mean, people could put money behind big Facebook campaigns and they wouldn't get the same response. And she, you know, she got done that all monetizing her channel and stuff like that, which I thought was amazing. So I would really love for this podcast to grow and grow and grow. I'm going to get some guests on as well. Because I'm in Ireland, there's a lot of producers that are close, not producers, there's a lot of craft people and people who work on the show of Game of Thrones, like the person who makes all the swords. And Northern Ireland, it's only a couple of miles up the road. Well, not a couple of miles, a couple of hundred miles, but still. And I'm in a better position than most to get these interviews on the show. So actually, if you want to tell me who you want me to get on the show, or ask at least, you can, you know, send in requests at brotherhoodpod on Twitter or email me at bannersmanners@gmail.com, and I'll try my best for you. Okay. Thanks for listening to the podcast, guys. I'm Ryan McBride. Goodbye.